T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
It's that time. Time for Starkey's Card of the Week with Jeff Patton. General Patton, we call him. The king in his castle. Owner of the baseball card castle in Cranberry Township. Listeners can go online to register to win this card beginning 10 a.m. Tuesday through 10 a.m. Thursday at 93.7 The Fan. Jeff, how are you today, sir?
Good morning, Joe. Thanks for having me.
Did you and Ron bond nicely last week when I was out?
Like we've been doing it for 10 years.
Ron, would you like to say hello to Jeff?
Hello, Jeff. It was a pleasure to be able to work with a gentleman like yourself.
You also, Ron. Thank you.
Well, I think today's card, from what I'm seeing here, is going to be very close to Ron's heart. Tell the people what it is, Jeff.
1957 Topps Bill Mazeroski rookie card. Hard to believe 63 years have gone by. But with baseball getting ready to start this week, 60-game sprint, everybody hoping for a little Bucko magic. Can't talk about Bucko magic without talking about Maz.
Oh, man. A 57 rookie card. What's he doing in the card? Tell us about it.
Typical 1950s photo, stage shot, gray flannel road, black flapless ear flap, batting helmet. Staged photo in the on-deck circle. Classic 1950s baseball card.
What a thing of beauty that is. Thank you, General Patton. We'll talk to you
You're
next
welcome.
Wednesday.
All right.
There
you
he goes.
Good day.
You too, man. Jeff Patton, Card of the Week. Again, 10 a.m. Tuesday through 10 a.m. Thursday. You can register to win at 93.7 The Fan. All right, Ron. Little twist here in the Sid story in that he apparently was working out individually prior to practice, Mike DeFabo reports from the Post-Gazette. As the whistle blew to start practice, he wasn't out there. Wonder if he is now. Let's go to Mike from the Post-Gazette. Mike, what's happening with Sid, and thank you for coming on.
Hey, thanks so much for having me in, guys. I apologize in advance for my muffled voice. I'm sitting here at practice talking through a mask right now. But yeah, everyone wants to hear about Sid. The situation is we got here at about 10 o'clock when the doors opened to the media. Sid was on the ice, looking like he had just wrapped up some individual work. He scooped up some pucks and put them in a bag and then sat on the bench while Zamboni drove around, grabbed his sticks, and headed back to the locker room. So, you know, typically with the Penguins, if they're coming back from injury, it's a progression. First they played individually, then they rejoin the team in a practice setting, then they're back on the ice in a game situation. So, you know, I think that Sid is, whenever was very fearful that he would miss that first game on August 1st. But obviously, this is another reassuring sign that he's taking more steps in the right direction. And, you know, I would be shocked if he didn't play August 1st. So, but it's another good sign, obviously, to see him out there.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing, Mike. You know, they're still got some time on their hands. There's no need to rush it. If he'd have been away again today and going into the weekend, then maybe you get concerned. But I'm with you. I think I don't know what they'd have to do to keep him out, but it would have to be pretty dramatic, I would think.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, even earlier this year, he played through a sports hernia and delayed surgery because the Penguins were injured. So even if it was something along those lines, you know, he's going to play. But all indications are that it's not something that's extremely significant. The only reason most why this has become a major storyline in Pittsburgh is because the NHL has implemented this policy where in an effort to maintain medical privacy amid COVID-19, they aren't talking about anybody who leaves the ice for any reason. So that's kind of created a little bit more speculation and a little bit more drama behind this whole thing. But I think the team sit back there in before practice was definitely another good sign, another reassuring sign for sure.
For sure, although I still think it's a story because he's still not practicing. And even though we all agree, yeah, he'll play through anything, my question would be, is this something that might hamper him? I mean, I don't think – do you have any idea what this might be?
No, they've been pretty tight-lipped here around the Penguins organization, trying to follow those roles. You know, immediately after it happened, you know, it happened in Saturday's scrimmage. I'm sure everyone kind of just caught up here. And we asked Connor Sherry about it, and he speculated it was kind of a maintenance thing. One thing that stuck out to me was there was no one incident, no collision on the ice. He didn't fall into the board. You know, it wasn't any kind of thing that stuck out in that regard. And then he stopped to grab his stick before heading to the dressing room. You know, if he was in serious pain, you don't stop and grab your sticks on the way to the dressing room. So, you know, it is significant because the layoff was so long. Training camp is so short that there isn't a lot of time to get ramped up, and obviously he wants to spend some time developing chemistry with Connor Sherry and Jake Guentzel again. But, you know, I still don't think that it's something that's going to keep him out game one.
Mike, what's up with Hornquist? Is he back practicing with the regular guys today, and what do you expect to see from him? Does he jump right in on the third line and on the power play? What do you expect?
Yeah, that's a big question. So Hornquist is back on the ice. Right now the Penguins are just doing, you know, so far they haven't done any kind of line rushes yet. But the way the Penguins have slotted Evan Rodriguez and Sam Lafferty on the right wing of that third line, I would assume that they were placeholders for Patrick Hornquist on that third line. And then you're absolutely right. I'm curious what's going to happen on the power play. They had Jared McCann over on that left circle. But it does seem like Patrick Hornquist would be a logical person to put in that spot or put on the ice with that top power play. So that's going to be definitely something to keep an eye on here as practice continues.
Mike, we'll leave you with this, and it's Mike DeFabo from the Post-Gazette. You can read his stuff at postgazette.com. Describe the scene over there, just covering camp. How many media people are there? What's your proximity to the ice? How does it work post-practice with interviews? Just sort of describe the scene if you could.
Yeah, it's a little bit surreal. You walk in and they take the temperature, and the first day they said you're a little warm, and I think that was because I was wearing a hat, so I had to take my hat off. They take your temperature. Then you go up to the media area, and everyone's spaced out about 6 feet, which is actually a good thing because you wouldn't want to get next, like, within 6 feet of a media guy in general, so that's good. And then the most surreal thing is all the interviews are over video chat. So, you know, you're talking to Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin, and you're not talking to him face-to-face. You're talking to him over this video chat, which is strange. So that's the way that things are going to go throughout the postseason. There's not going to be any direct access to players like they have in the NBA. Everything's going to be over video conference. But all of this is in an effort to keep these bubbles tight and play hockey and award that Stanley Cup.
Ron, anything for Mike?
Nope, I think we're all set, Joe. Thank you for coming on, Mike. Appreciate the update.
Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. Just it sprung to mind here. If the Post-Gazette's sending somebody to Canada, will there be a 14-day quarantine?
Yeah, so the 14-day quarantine was a factor in our decision-making process. So we're not going to send anybody to Toronto, but should the Penguins advance to Edmonton, where they're going to be playing the Eastern Conference Finals, and the cup finals, they will be there. And as we're talking right now, Ron and Joe, Patrick Hornquist is skating on the right wing with the third line as they're doing line rushes right now. So just a final update here from camp.
There we go. Thank you, Mike.
Hey, my pleasure, guys. Thanks a lot.
There he goes, Mike DeFabo. So you have Hornquist out there, no Sid. What significance do you draw here, Ron?
I think it's great news that he was seen today, that, you know, that he was out skating before practice. You know they're not going to rush him. I just think it's great news that he is back on the ice. And, you know, let's see if tomorrow, you know, that he's actually going full bore. But I think it's great news today. Great news.
Yeah, it's interesting for people who are covering these games. They have to go there and basically sit in a hotel for 2 weeks. So, I mean, there's no way around that. I think Zeiss was talking to Dan Kingurski last night, and he was holed up in a hotel room for a couple of weeks. That's just the way of it, Ron, if people want to cover these things.
Yep, and my understanding is they're not going to get any more access than anybody that's back here, but the advantage is you're in the building and you actually see things that you may not see on television.
So power play-wise, we talked about Hornquist. We've talked about Sid today. How about line-wise, Ron? Do you like the idea of Connor Sherry up on that top line with Sid and Guentzel?
You know what? I think Sid likes it. So if Sid likes it, I'm okay with it. And again, you know, we know Sully well enough, Joe, that none of these lines are etched in stone by any stretch, you know, that they could, he could change them halfway through the first period of the first game. But I have no problem with it. I think Sid is comfortable with Guentzel. And obviously with Guentzel, and I think he's comfortable with Sherry. And if it doesn't work out, they'll make some changes.
I'm not that comfortable with it unless Sherry is better than he was in his initial stint when he returned. I just didn't think he was very good, Ron. And I'll wonder if Hornquist or somebody else will move up there in that spot.
Could. Again, that's what I said. Sullivan certainly won't be afraid to move guys around if he thinks that's what's best. You know, Sid has never really – you know, had great chemistry with Hornquist. I think he prefers Sherry, but that doesn't mean that they're married to it by any stretch.
Top of the hour, we'll ask Jay Caulfield about all things Penguins, Canadians, NHL. He's next on Cook and Joe.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.